Ramsey TV.
What is with AI? Sometimes it gets it right. Sometimes it adds some stupid stuff. I just put in all is of God. I was just looking to confirm where every verse is that says all is of God. Because the title for this show is The Case Against Limited Free Will. Limited free will being one of the stupidest statements existent. Free is, you know, without constraint. And limited means constrained. So a limited free will is limited non-constraint or unfree freedom. So there you have it. It's a contradiction. It doesn't make any sense. I'm against contradiction. I do make sense. In fact, I make sense for a living. This is Martin Zender. And welcome to MCTV. So I put all is of God. This is what AI Overview says. The concept, as you see, I got a case with it right away. It's not a concept, it's a truth. But it says, gets some things right. Listen, the concept that all is of God points to the belief that every aspect of creation originates from and depends on a divine source. That's exactly what we believe. This philosophy, oh my God, then they blow it up with that stupid word. First they call it a concept, then they call it a philosophy. It's not, it's a truth. We know that, but AI gets the meaning right, but they just don't understand what it is. It's a concrete fact. This philosophy emphasizes ultimate sovereignty. This part is true. Divine providence and unity. The idea, there, my God, three times they've sinned. Calling all is of God a concept, a philosophy, and an idea. All in the same introductory paragraph. Shame on them. So I'm going to read this thing, getting rid of concept, philosophy, and idea, and it sounds pretty good. All is of God points to the fact that every aspect of creation originates from and depends on a divine source. It emphasizes ultimate sovereignty, divine providence, and unity. That existence itself is an expression of God's will and purpose. Good job, AI. Throughout various traditions and spiritual reflections, this perspective takes on different meanings. Oh God, here we go. Christian theology reflects on verses like Romans 11:36. Which states that all things come from, exist through, and return to God. But that's not Christian theology. AI, you're missing something. It's Christians' stated theology, but it's not their belief. They don't believe it at all. They believe that maybe all is out of God. Yeah, most of them believe that. But all is through God? No, that would require a rejection of human free will. Human free will says most things in life come through the human. Because we're free, don't you know? Oh, but we have limited freedom. There's a limit to our unlimitedness, you see. Christian theology reflects on verses like Romans 11:36, which states that all things come from, exist through, and return to God. It emphasizes grace. Yeah, wow. Yeah, it emphasizes it, but doesn't believe it. With 2 Corinthians 5:18, noting that all things are of God through the reconciliation of Christ. Actually, it's the conciliation. Christ is conciliated to the world. 2 Corinthians 5:18. These next two sections are ridiculous. Philosophy and metaphysics explores theism and pantheism. Theism separates the creator from the creation. Terrific idea. Now, these are concepts, theories, and philosophies. While pantheism suggests the universe and the divine are identical, that the cosmos itself is of God. Well, if they're identical, if the universe and the divine are identical, wouldn't say that the cosmos is God? What do you mean it's of God? That's our belief, morons. I think they put an extra word in there. Personal reflection. Many find peace and purpose in disbelief. Which one? All of God? Yeah. Allowing them to let go of control. Yes, we have relative control, but not absolute control. It gets into the topic of free will, yeah. And this so-called limited free will, which is not true. I'm going to talk about the absolute and the relative a little bit and use a couple common examples people get confused about. Many find peace and purpose in this belief that all is of God, allowing them to let go of control, trust in a grander plan, a Yah, and see sacredness in everyday moments. I like that. That's absolutely true. So welcome to the show here. The case against limited free will is an easy case. I've told you many times that I've been so thankful that I didn't start teaching, recording, writing in earnest or anything until I had the basics of God down pat, that I had studied a vast supply of literature, read, you know, hundreds of thousands of words from the Concordant Publishing Concern, from men who had studied the Greek scriptures, became a student of the Greek scriptures myself. And so once I started publicly making my cases, I had it, I'm not going to say I had it all figured out, but pretty damn near had it all figured out, the basics. Because what I used to believe, this might have been 1983 or 84, I was buying into this fly in the jar, dog on a leash, horse in a bridle thing. That within the greater will of God, there was some wiggle room. Only being the clever lad that I was back in those days, and stupid lad that I was, I developed my own little illustration. It was crashing in an airplane, much more exciting, much more interesting than a fly in a jar, don't you think? In my scenario, in my little example, an airplane is crashing, nosediving toward the ground at, let's say, if it's even possible, I don't know, 500 miles per hour. And you're sitting in the front row, but as the plane is descending, nose down toward the ground, you decide to climb to the tail to delay your impact to the ground. See, so you start climbing to the tail. God's will is the plane coming down. That's God's will. But within God's will, you can climb around on the seats. You can order a drink if the airline staff are still serving. You know, you can use the toilets, although it'd be quite awkward to aim. It's awkward anyway, but when a plane is nosediving, I would think, trying to figure out how that would work. I was going to say that it might be easier. No, I think you would involuntarily pee. Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about going to the bathroom at all. But this was just another silly, really, example of fly in the jar where human beings want to think that they have some small control of the minute things. People are so offended when you tell them God controls everything. It's like, even when I scratch my nose, did I say everything? Is there some confusion about the word everything? Yes, even when you scratch your nose. What about when I brush my hair? They ask just ridiculous questions. You know. What about what I eat for breakfast? No, God has nothing to do with what you eat for breakfast, just when you scratch your nose. Oh, okay, let me write this down. People are not smart. People are not smart. All is of God. Everything. Everything. But I'm going to look at a common verse. So I got rid of that. I believed that maybe for a couple weeks. I think I handwrote, or maybe typed out my understanding of, no, I think I put it in a notebook, but I never sent it to anybody. Like, thank God, you know. So I don't have to tell you. I thank God for this almost every day. I don't have to tell you. Don't read anything I wrote, you know, before 1993, because I didn't write anything. Well, I wrote a little bit, but it was just for family. Yes, I did have a little newsletter before Autobabbler Illustrated. It was called Food for Thought. It was a total ripoff of Ray Prinzing's presentation. He had a thing called Letters of Truth. I really respected Ray Prinzing at the time. I thought, I want to do that. It was like when the Beatles saw Elvis. I said, that looks like a good job. I saw a guy writing about God, sending it out to people. I thought, I think I would like to do something like that. I think it would be a real purpose to write about God. So I had a little newsletter called Food for Thought. Oh, how creative. It was typewritten, I mean, with a typewriter. 6 pages, just like Ray Prenzing's. 1 cover page. It was just such a ripoff. And I sent to 11 people. So I'm not even counting that. That doesn't even count. I sent it to 11 people, family. That's it. And after a year, I was sending it to the same 11 people. Then I stopped writing that, okay? But so during that time, I think I had this idea. Like if this was 85, probably, 86. So, yeah, I was a Christian for a few years. Then I became a believer. I want to go to Proverbs 16:33. In the King James, this is a very common verse. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Let's read it. I think I pretty much quoted it verbatim from the King James. Proverbs 16:33 KJV. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So you get the idea that, well, you can throw the dice. That's your part of it. And see, the trip up people have with limited free will is if it's not explicitly stated in the scriptures that God is doing it, then they think that's room for limited free will, just because it's not explicitly stated. So you have to go to the big verses like the one we were at, 2 Corinthians, the one at which we were, which was 2 Corinthians 5:18, all is of God, or Romans 11:36, all is of God. You have to go to those verses, and those verses eliminate that anything is not of God. Or one of my favorite, Acts 17:25-28. God gives to all life and breath and all, and in him we live and move and are. I mean, these are just knockout verses. Nothing is done. In him we live and move. God gives to all life and breath and all. Knockdown verses, Acts 17:25-28. Inescapable, along with Romans 11:36, all is of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all is of God. But this Proverbs 16:33 trips people up because it's not stated. The first part of this couplet here says the lot is cast into the lap. The second half, separated by a semicolon, is, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So when it's stated that the disposing is of the Lord, you get the idea that the casting is not, don't you? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord. But wait a minute, all is of the Lord. So the lot being cast into the lap, that's not a free action. But because it's not only is it not stated to be free here, but it's stated right next to, it's actually the same sentence separated only by a semicolon, that the disposing is of the Lord. So you get this false dichotomy that one thing is of the Lord and one thing is not, simply because the second half is stated, but the first half is right there next to it. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's an assumption and nothing but an assumption. So help me God. It's an assumption that the lot, that is the dice, it wasn't a dice. They drew straws back then. I really think they drew straws or they cast. It's kind of like dice. They put sticks in a bag and pulled it out. It's kind of like a quote unquote chance thing. Okay. Let's call it dice just for the sake of convenience. The lot is cast into the lap. You throw it in your lap. I don't know. I prefer to do that on a table. But if you want to use a lap, okay, whatever. King James likes the lap. Cast it into the lap. But, you see that but throws you off. But the disposing, that is whether you roll snake eyes or boxcars or a 3 and a 4 or a 2 and a 1. With the dice, God decides how it rolls out. God decides how that thing rolls. But until it leaves your hand, that's your contribution, and it's free. This is a verse where they get limited free will. Let me show you another example of it, and you'll see the folly of thinking. This is relative and absolute in one verse. God doesn't want, let me give you the secret of this while I'm here. Proverbs 16:33. Here's the secret for the smartest audience on YouTube. And you're going to be even smarter after I tell you this. The secret is always of God. That's the secret. Once you know that, then that's the key to everything. The lot being cast in the lap is of God. But man, it doesn't say here that it's of God. It doesn't matter if it's not stated. God wants to emphasize that the disposing is of the Lord. That's what the emphasis is. But it's an assumption to assume that the preceding act is not of the Lord. That's an assumption. That is a logical lapse or a leap of logic. That is. You have to assume that the lot is cast into the lap. And as if, this goes on to say, and done so freely with no influence with God whatsoever. Because that's what free will is. This is the ugly truth about free will. God has nothing to do with it. God cannot interfere. God does not interfere. You are your own sovereign. You're not influenced. There's no influence from God. No influence from gravity. Even though when you throw the lot in the lap, it falls down instead of up. Why does it do that? Because of gravity. Why is there gravity? Well, it's just a law. God put the laws in place, then he took a nap. And yet we read in Colossians that all things cohere through Christ. So forget that. It's just that it's not being emphasized. The great point of emphasis here is that the disposing, how it comes out, how the dice roll, is of the Lord. But it doesn't mean that the lot being cast in the lap is not of the Lord. And it doesn't say it's not of the Lord, does it? But that's the assumption because people like a limited free will. Now, when you read this in a concordant version, it's really different. I mean, it works. I don't care. I'll take this King James. I don't care. This doesn't change my argument. It doesn't change the truth. All it says is a lot is cast in the lap. Yeah, it is. Go ahead. Throw the lot in the lap. Oh, every single movement of your hand was of God. Why? Because in him we live and move and are, and God gives to all life and breath and all. That's why. And all is of God. That's why. You can't ever throw those verses out. Those are bedrock. You see, the absolute truth is not stated in very many places. Otherwise, the Bible would be this thick. You'd have to carry it around in a wheelbarrow. You have to wheel it in a wheelbarrow. The lot being cast in the lap is also of the Lord. But that's just not being emphasized here. Listen to the concordant version of this. A little different slant. Proverbs 16:33, it is the lot that is cast forth in the bosom. It's almost, you see what I mean? In the King James, the lot is cast, like somebody's doing it. But here, it is the lot. They're talking about the dice. It is the dice, or the die, that is cast forth in the bosom. I don't know how you could roll a dice in a bosom, but, you know, I guess it's the same thing as a lamp to the concordant folks. Bosom. I guess you could drop a pair of dice in a woman's blouse, but you'd have to throw them in there. What did that guy just do? He just cast the lot forth into that woman's bosom. And what happened? Well, from Yahweh is it's every judgment. The guy's judgment? No. Somebody goes in and gets the dice and reads them. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So concordant version of the Old Testament, Proverbs 16:33, it is the lot that is cast forth. You see, it takes the emphasis off a person throwing it, and it puts it on the lot. The lot is cast forth. It's less of an emphasis on somebody's doing it, even though somebody is doing it. It's just less of an emphasis. And again, I don't care. Both verses work perfectly for me because I never forget the absolute. As I always say it, you carry the absolute in your back pocket all day. It's absolute. Just carry it in your back pocket. There it is. You have it. You know the truth. Now you go the rest of the day acting like everything depends on you. That's a fun way to live. You live like, you know, life's exciting. And, oh, what's going to happen next? Ooh, ooh. And when things start going to smash, you pull out your ace. So just think of it as an ace in your sleeve then. Oh, this is of God. You know, I did the best I could. Went to Smash. That's of God. But even I did the, see, I did the best I could, but God brought it to ruin. I did the best. There's a perfect example, like the lots cast in the lap. But it's every decision is from the Lord. I did the best I could, but God brought it to ruin. Right? That's a common thing to say, and it's not a bad thing to say. But the first part is relative. The second part is absolute. It's just relative that you did the best you could. You did do the best you could. But the best you could was of God. He made you limited. He made you mortal. He made you apt to make mistakes. So the best you could do might be better than somebody else, relatively. But absolutely, it still sucks because you're flawed by design. I did the best I could, but God, you know, did what he did with it. The emphasis is God did what he did with it. That's the emphasis, but it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, because the whole truth is you doing the best you could is also of God. We're just letting it go unstated because it's cumbersome to state it every single time something happens to say, well, don't forget, God dictated that. Don't forget, that was of God. Don't forget. If in every verse of Scripture, God said, don't forget, this was of me. I mean, even the Christians would believe in the sovereignty of God if God did that. But as soon as they lose sight of God, as soon as God disappears behind a curtain, they assume he's left town. And they see a verse like, Lot's cast in the lap. Oh, okay, that's my free realm. And even I've heard some believers suggest that. That's the human contribution. Well, relatively, it's a human contribution, but absolutely, that human contribution is completely controlled. Every motion of your finger, every movement of your arm, and some people blow on the dice before they roll them. It's all of God, every single motion, every single action. But when it's not stated, you just say, oh, the lot's cast in the lap, or the dice are dropped into that lady's nice dress. I just say that. People think, oh, it's free. What a stupid mistake. Didn't you remember? Don't you got an ace in your sleeve? Don't you carry around that magnificent truth of the sovereignty of God, the absolute sovereignty of God in your back pocket, all is of God? Forgot that? How did you forget that? I guess you got so excited about casting the lot into the bosom. I got so excited about that. It felt so free. It felt like I was making a decision. It's only the outcome that's of God. No, it's only the outcome of God that's stated. You got to go to the other verses. But the concordance suggests that even though it's not stated, it kind of takes the human, the way it's worded, it takes the human, even the human contribution away. I like it. I do like it. Now, and here's an example. I'll close with this from the Greek scriptures. Paul says, I plant, Apollos irrigates. Sorry, concordant, I know. King James says Apollos waters. Makes more sense. I'd rather hear waters here, but for some reason, corn irrigates. Because it's more of an agricultural term, I think. I plant, Apollos irrigates, but. See, there's that but. Same thing in Proverbs 16:33. Lot is cast in the lap, but. False assumption, the human is free when he's casting the lot in the lap or dropping it in the woman's dress. Here it is. Similar example. I plant, Apollos irrigates, but God makes it grow up. Okay, the assumption is that God only makes the last thing happen. So Paul plants freely. Paul has a free will. He can plant with no compulsion whatsoever upon him. No influence whatsoever acting upon him. Apollos irrigates. Totally of his own accord. Nothing making him do it. His own ingenuity, his own strength, his own muscles. God's not making his muscles work. God's not making his brain say, I guess this stuff needs watered or it's not going to grow. It's an agricultural example. It's a metaphor. Paul planting is Paul putting the seed in people's mind. Paul preaching the evangel. And Apollos irrigating is after Paul leaves town. Apollos emphasizes what Paul said, double checks, adds to it. Not anything false to it, but enhances it. He doesn't embellish it. It helps it along. Yeah, helps it along. Like, did you guys get that? That's irrigating. Did you guys get that? But God makes it grow. If anybody gets it, if anybody does get it, that's God. But it doesn't mean that the things that went before aren't of God. It's just not stated in the context. Where is it stated? 2 Corinthians 5:18, Romans 11:36. That's where it's stated. All is of God. That's where it is stated, just not in the context. The lot is cast into the lap. It's not stated that that's happening freely. That's happening by a person who's acting independently of God. And it's confusing because in the second half of it, it is stated that that part is of God. So it's really tricky. You got to pay attention there, because just because it's every decision is from God doesn't mean that the thing that went before it is not from God. And just because God makes it grow up, using the metaphor of planting, God makes a person understand the evangel, just because that part is stated to be God making it, it doesn't mean God didn't make Paul plant and God didn't make Apollos irrigate. Because indeed, God did make Paul plant and did make Apollos irrigate. Now, you might want the scripture to say, God made me plant, God made Apollos water, and God makes it grow up. You might have wanted that, okay? But this Bible's for mature people. It's not for amateurs who are going to just drool ignorantly over it and read it without comprehension, without understanding, without context, without the greater context, without knowing the absolute viewpoint. I plant, Apollos irrigates, but God makes it grow up. And the answer comes in this particular context. The answer is in verse 7. So that neither he who is planting is anything, nor he who is irrigating, but God who makes it grow up. See, so neither is he who is planting anything. So Paul, it's almost like he's anticipating the mistake here that people also make in Proverbs 16:33. I can cast a lot. At least I do that part. That's the human contribution. No, it's not. Just relatively. Paul anticipates that. I plant. Paul says, Apollo irrigates. God makes it grow up. Paul in his mind saying, oh my God, some of these immature people. After all, I am writing the Corinthians. Some of these people are going to think, just because I say I use a personal pronoun. Paul loves the personal pronoun. I love the personal pronoun. Some people who don't understand the absolute and the relative, they can't handle the personal pronoun. They assume that when you say I, you assume that you're acting independently. Well, I people have done that to me. It drives me crazy. I wrote the first city in heaven. What do you mean you wrote it? God wrote it. Okay, so I'll change the author's name to God. Does that make you feel better? The first city in heaven by God. Oh, you're an arrogant bastard. Oh, I can't make you happy, can I? Either I'm prideful or an arrogant bastard. I have to use, if I wrote it, then I'm prideful. If I say God wrote it, then I'm an arrogant bastard. What can I do? I can try to convince this crazy objector to understand the absolute and the relative viewpoint. I plant, Paul says. He plants as opposed to Joe Blow, who lives down the road from Paul, planting. Joe Blow, living down the road from Paul, he's not preaching the evangel. He's weaving baskets or doing whatever he does, robbing banks, whatever he does. Apollos irrigates. Why did you say Apollos irrigates if Apollos doesn't have free will? Well, I'm just saying that Paul speaking, Apollos irrigates as opposed to Sam Jones irrigating my words. You know, Sam Jones, he's the guy who works at the drugstore down the street. See, he doesn't irrigate the evangel. He doesn't encourage people to believe what I teach. Are you getting this? Paul says to the Corinthians. Now. So then Paul, for those people, and for anyone listening to me who still doesn't get it, God bless you. Smartest audience on YouTube, I know you do get it. Paul says, verse 7, so that neither is he who is planting anything. Okay, Paul says, I'm not anything. Don't get the idea that I'm making myself out to be. I plant. Ho-ho! I plant. Did you hear me? You losers. I plant. What have you done? I plant. You watch TV all day. No. He was planting and he was irrigating. So that neither is he who is planting anything, nor he who is irrigating, but God who makes it grow up. God is everything. He's still not relating God to the planting and the irrigating. Is just saying that we who are planting and irrigating are nothing. So by extension, you can infer that, well, God's doing that too. And you'd be correct. Don't forget to add Acts 17:24-25. Put that in your back pocket too. Verse 8. Now he was planning and he was irrigating are for one thing. Yet each will be getting his own wages according to his toil. Oh no, I'm not getting any of the wages. If I get into the wages, I'm going to upset the wage. We don't get any wages group. The four people in the There Are No Wages Club. So I won't get into that today. I'll stop here. And I think I made pretty good sense today. And if God is willing, I'll make it again tomorrow.